Thank you so much for that reading from one generation to the next, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one generation helping the next turn on the microphone. I appreciate that as well. Praise God. Nurturing a thriving, Christ-centered legacy in the next generation requires faith for the future. What future do you see? Bucky and Lawrence Jacobson saw a future. Not all, but many of us do not even have a memory of those names, but the future they envisioned included each one of us. 30 years ago, people like Kenny Nelson and Joanne and Don Whaley and Dorothy and Joe Drinkowitz envisioned a thriving, Christ-centered future. And though they have passed on in the years that have followed, their legacy lives on through you. This group of visionary mission friends included people like Pearl and Corky Lewis, Doris and Marlo Warholm, and so many others, each with unique stories of struggle and belief and joy and sorrow and commitment and challenge, sacrifice and beauty and faith. They had faith for the future in a time when their future looked uncertain. So the story of those days 30 years ago is that while other churches in our community were still thriving, a look across the congregation on Sunday morning yielded a view of almost entirely gray hair. Gray hair. And yet, their current view did not limit their future vision. So what did they see? What led them to take incredibly bold steps in their day for planning and fundraising and building this facility that we now share? You know what they saw? They saw us. They saw you. We are the outcome of that vision that they saw for the next generation. God gave an aging group of faithful mission friends a vision that reminded them that Christ's church is not on its way out, but would grow into a thriving legacy beyond their years. We can envision today taking those bold steps for the future because they had faith for the future in their day. They had faith for our generation. And this month we have committed to follow in their footsteps by investing ourselves in a vibrant, Christ-centered legacy for our next generation followers. And although we are not yet experiencing all the full scope of ministry that we had even 2 years ago, we see great things coming. And our current view does not limit our faith for the future. So what future do you see for the next generation? At Bethlehem Church, we say that kids and youth are not only the church of the future, but they are the church today, right now. And it's true. Kids, students, if you're here today, I want to invite you to raise your hand. If you're online watching, raise your hands once. Wave them high, okay? I just want you to be recognized here today. You are the church, right? Not just the church of the future. You are the church today, along with all of the rest of us. Because who is the church? We are the church, all of us together, accepting each other at every age and stage of believing and following Jesus. And it is evident on Sundays and Wednesdays and in your schools and on the sports courts and in your families that God is doing something in your lives, something unique and significant. And God is shaping your hearts and minds in this new generation. And as God's people, we want to come alongside what God is doing and fan that life into flame. So what is God doing? What is God doing? Now, next gen students, and if you're teenagers here today or young adults, I'm going to share some conversation that I'm having. And I invite you to critique it with me, okay? I'm not suggesting that I know all of this. I am a learner of your generation. You are the ones living it. You are the ones being shaped and molded by it. And so what I share with humility, that it may not describe you. I also want you to know that I have great faith in you. I have great faith in your generation. I have great faith in what God is at work doing and will continue to do in and through your lives for His church. I think God is preparing a generation to experience hope. A generation to experience hope. The Apostle Paul describes the mystery of the gospel this way in Colossians 1:27. He says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So how does that message connect with us today? Well, I had a conversation with an urban middle school teacher from another state, and though, again, this may not translate to Wheaton, it does describe a generation that is forming whose experience of life is very different than certainly my own. And for anyone who grew up in a previous generation, we do need to recognize that we did not live in this generation. We're not living in this generation at their age, right? We're living here now, right? But not at their age. So if you're a middle school student today, you were born in the financial crisis of 2008-2009. You likely see the world through a lens of extreme political factions and race tensions. You do live with instant access, constant access to social media and endless information streams. And get this, the last third of your school life has been shaped by COVID protocols, by isolation, by e-learning and quarantines. You live in a world where more people are sick at one time than has been the case in generations. And death is the talk and fear constantly crossing the media. So the rest of us, let's just ask ourselves this question. What future do they see? What future does the next generation see? This was middle school, so let's jump a generation. If you want our next generation to thrive in this shared life of faith, then we need also to be students of their world, students of their perspective. So that doesn't mean scrolling through TikTok until 4 a.m., you know. I know that that's a reality. But it does mean working hard to understand and to learn this new culture. If somebody doesn't know what TikTok is, then just simply ask somebody who's under, 13. Tim Ciccone, Covenant Director of Student Ministries in the Evangelical Covenant Church, he shared that this generation asks this question, not is it true, not is it good, but is it beautiful? The question they're asking, is it beautiful? Why this question? Because they see so much that is not. The middle school teacher that I spoke with said that her students view the world from a dystopian perspective that is full of suffering and injustice. Life can be at best dismal, visionless, and at its worst, it is hopeless. It's a gamified generation that is drawn to a dreamlike virtual life rather than the reality of this life that feels so hopeless. Get that, a life that feels hopeless. They see a broken world. Now, I realize that's not the perspective of every middle school student, but it is becoming the philosophy of an upcoming generation. So that's why the coming Unite North youth event that is coming to our area is focusing their theme around recognizing God's beauty in broken places. You see the connection there? Recognizing God's beauty in broken places. It's here in the brokenness where faith for the future connects that truth with beauty. And I believe the next generation of Jesus followers will have the ability, you will have this ability to translate that experience of brokenness that you feel, that your peers feel, into the beauty and hope of the gospel, the hope that we share, the hope that the Apostle Paul says, to them, followers of Jesus, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles, that's the people of the world, the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, the hope for your generation. So with the hope of Christ in you, I have great faith for the next generation. And our role as the church is to nurture and equip that legacy for your good work ahead. The Apostle Paul pointed to Timothy. He pointed Timothy to the followers that were coming. He said, the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, so the things that the apostle taught, the church taught, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. You know, this is definitely a followers making followers verse for the future. You know, it's talking about equipping people to share for the future. It calls every generation to continually entrust and equip the next generation to carry forward this vision for the church, the vision God has placed before us, which we say this, it is to be a vibrant, Christ-centered community connecting all generations to Jesus. Now, I could easily see your generation changing that, shifting that to say a beautiful, Christ-centered community connecting all generations to Jesus. You will envision what that beauty looks like, a future where the gospel transforms your generation, the hearts and minds of your peers, and calls you to be this community of Christ together across all generations. So I'm convinced that Jesus has given us this vision, not just for the future, but for right now. Right now, because right now the Holy Spirit is at work in you, in our next generation. And God is serious about fulfilling his mission movement to all generations. Right now, we have been called to do that right here in a unique way in our region, to step out in faith in this Greater Things campaign, in a time when the future seems uncertain, but when our hope is secure. Our hope is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we have faith for the future, building the church of the next generation. In Timothy's letter that was read here, I do want to just take a moment in verse 1 and speak a little bit about what was read by Callie so wonderfully. Thank you so much. She read this. Paul said, rather, talking to Timothy, rather join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. You know brokenness in this world, in this generation. You recognize that people are suffering, and Paul says, join me in the suffering for a purpose, for the gospel, by the power of God. That is not suffering without purpose, but it is the power of God transforming hearts and lives. He writes, he has saved us and called us to a holy life. You know, this idea of a holy life is a life centered on God, this beautiful life that God has called us to live and to be and to live out in our communities. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. Again, it's not because of what we can do, but it's because of what God is doing in us, according to his purpose, by his gift of grace. The grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. This isn't something new for your generation or mine. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death. He has destroyed the brokenness that is around us and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He has destroyed the brokenness and transformed it into light and immortality, something good, something beautiful. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. We are called, you are called to a vision, to a mission for the future. We are commissioned to share the gospel and to make followers. So if it's true that churches rise and fall upon leadership, and I believe it's true, then it's true that the future church will rise and fall upon our future leaders. Jesus picked 12 disciples to be with him, to engage with him, to be present with him, to learn from him, to grow with him, that they might be his witnesses. And those 12 became the church, and they gathered people around them to be with them, to learn the good news, to hear the stories, to be transformed by the Holy Spirit, that they might go out and be witnesses to new followers, to gather them, and the process continues to this very day. Followers, making followers of Jesus. You see, there is no other plan in the world. The church is who? We are the church. We are God's plan. We are the answer to the world's brokenness and ugliness, and each generation sharing the beauty of the cross. The Apostle Paul said, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. God is at work in this suffering. Jesus said, the thief's purpose, the devil's purpose, is to steal and kill and destroy. That's brokenness. My purpose, Jesus said, is to give a rich and satisfying life, life in all its fullness and beauty. That sounds like beauty out of something broken. And Paul writes, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. A beautiful new creation. The broken is transformed into beauty. So some of you need to know this experience of transforming beauty, this new life in Christ. So we are committed to
equipping you. We are part of Be Bold that meets on Wednesday night.
In the next generation. Kevin and Ruth are really anxious to share, so let's let them do that. So Kevin and Ruth serve in Be Bold, and they are, which is fifth and sixth grade class, and they are, along with Christine, who has been unable this year, but they are engaging in ways that are connecting, we believe, with our students, and they have so many good questions. So Olivia, if it's possible, go ahead and share that clip.
It's been a very interesting experience for us. We've had a lot of kids from outside of our normal church building, and a lot of new faces and a lot of new acquaintances.
At Be Bold, we encourage values such as being accepted as you are, respecting each other, and that we're all in this together, and that God is always here with us. He's ready to be our friend because we matter to him.
We've encountered several different topics in our weekly discussions, and some of them that stand out in my mind is we had a debate about whether or not God has a plan for us, or if our personal choices make a difference in our lives. That was very interesting. And we had another session that was about what is heaven like and what will we do when we are there. And that was very thought-provoking for the fifth and sixth graders that are in our class.
So the kids are searching. They're asking incredible questions, some of them actually very difficult. But it is because they are seeking to know the truth. They want to know what to believe. And we recognize that they're not going to be here long. In a year or two, those kids will be in high school. In a year or two, a few years after that, they will be on to college and then off to jobs. And we recognize that a priority for Bethlehem Covenant Church is equipping the next generation right now. It's central to our shared mission of making followers of Jesus. See, God is working in their lives, just like he was working in young Timothy's life. And the Apostle Paul, he recognized that. In his second letter, he writes, I thank God, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with your joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. Just like Lori and Callie, that faith going from one generation to the next. And God is doing something unique, certainly in young Timothy's life. Timothy's faith is alive, and Paul recognized that he wants to encourage it and so it'll flourish. The church is responsible. We are responsible for seeing how God is at work in their lives and encouraging that faith. But students, here's your call. You have a role in that as well. Paul says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. Fan into flame that gift which is in you through the laying on of hands. For the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Power, love, and self-discipline. Let's say that together. Power, love, and self-discipline. You are called to engage that work God is doing. Timothy's to fan it into flame, and Paul's to encourage him and remind him and equip him to thrive in that gifting. So the church is the vehicle that God uses to make followers of Jesus, and the church is the vehicle God uses to equip followers of Jesus, and the church is to encourage followers of Jesus, and the church is to send out followers of Jesus. And who is the church? We are the church, so we are to fan into flame the gift of God. We are the church, and when we see God at work, our role is to come alongside that work and do what the scripture says, fan that work into flame. So church, God is at work. I invite you, raise your hands, if you will, raise your hands and fan that flame. Fan that flame. Go ahead. We teach life skills here. So your staff at Bethlehem Covenant Church is represents two-thirds of kids and students ministry. So two-thirds of the work that we do is committed to this work that you see. And I wanted to just have Pastor Greg and Cheryl, as ministries director, share their heart and vision for the future. So, Pastor Greg, would you share your vision for youth ministry at Bethlehem Church? And then, how is your team of youth leaders working to realize that vision?
For sure. So our vision of youth ministry here at the church is to create a place where all are welcomed to come as they are, and when they get here, that they will hear biblical truths and be equipped to go out and share that good news, which is followers making followers of Jesus. That is what we do and why we do what we do, is to prepare them to go out into their sports teams, into their classes, to share the good news of the gospel with other people. And I have an amazing group of leaders who surround these kids and pray over these kids and support these kids. We'll take some time to mention them. They will hate this, but I'm going to say their names because they are just great, and they have this heart, and it's really a calling to support the youth in our communities. And so we have Mark Horman, we have Iris Horman, we have Amanda Sikora, Miranda Scaniel, and Jolene Vipon. They are our team of people who are loving these students, and they they time and time again go out and show the love of Christ to these students through their words, through their actions. And really, it's just an encouragement to give to these kids that this is the life that we get to live as part of the body of Christ. That as these leaders are living their lives, showing the love for these students are seeing that and they're picking it up. And they are also then beginning to show that to the classmates and to the other people who are around them, of the love of Christ. And so while we love teaching them biblical truths, we also love to have fun. And so we try to incorporate fun every week into youth group by playing some games and going on experiences where kids can see that being a Christian is a fun thing. Sometimes you get the stereotypes of being a Christian is just about following rules and going to church, standing up, sitting down, all that fun stuff. But there's a lot of fun of being a Christian, and we like to show that to our students as well by going on retreats and going to concerts and different things like that. And so it's a good thing to be a part of youth ministry because we get to impact these kids in such a ripe time where they're learning so much and they are just hungry to grow and learn more.
Thank you, Pastor Greg.
You're welcome.
You say preach it.
Thanks.
All right. Cheryl, I kind of have the same question for you. What's your vision for kids ministry at Bethlehem Church?
For kids ministry, we want to create an environment where kids can come and experience God, and they can have fun while they're doing so, that they can discover that they not only matter to God, but they matter to us. And when there is that freedom to feel safe and to explore, then they can ask really good questions. They can dare to put their faith and trust in Jesus. They can bring their friends because it's a good place to be, and they know that they belong here. They know that we want them here. One of the things that's central to all of us is that they hear the gospel. So when they hear the gospel, they learn how Jesus loves. They can learn how they can love. They can learn how they can share his love and how they can deal with bullies and the dark things of this world. And they also learn how to serve. They learn how to serve each other and one another, other generations. One of our big focuses this fall, or this last month, is how they can make an impact in their world as a child. It's not something you grow up to be and make a difference, it's that they can make a difference now. Part of our vision for kids ministry when we first started was to bring the children in, offer something that wasn't being offered anywhere else, get them in a practice of coming on Wednesday nights, experiencing and learning and growing together and bringing their friends. And then when they go into DC and into youth group, it's normal and natural to be here on Wednesday nights. It's what they do.
Thank you, Cheryl. Yeah. I appreciate that. As we talk about ministry and how God is at work, how the Holy Spirit is working in the midst of our students, do you have an experience, Pastor Greg, you can share that would encourage us?
Absolutely. So I don't know if you've ever worked with junior hires, but sometimes it can be a challenge. And I love you junior hires who are here. I do love you all. But sometimes just where they're at in life, and we all were junior hires. If you were not a junior hire, you're lying to yourself because you were. And we're all a little awkward sometimes, but in those moments of junior high, there's an event that we used to go to called MOOSE, and it stands for Most Unbelievable Ultimate Urban Camping Experience. And really the whole idea of MOOSE is just a high-packed, high-energy event where you play a lot of games, get some Jesus sprinkled in there, and just it's a great time to invite friends to get them connected with the group. And so sometimes you get there, you're sleeping on a gym floor, and you feel like, what is this even doing? How are they getting anything spiritual out of this? But Miranda has been leading our Alpha for the high school students this last few weeks, and just the stories that are coming out of those high schoolers who went to MOOSE with us and seeing that those seeds were planted in middle school when you're thinking, oh, they're just messing around, they're smacking each other in the face with pillows and not sleeping at night, they're not getting anything out of this. But then they come back in high school and you, A, had those relationships built up with them of having the fun with them, of hitting them in the face with pillows, but also you have those seeds that were planted in those times of fun where they are like, oh yeah, I actually remember something that was came out of that. And so I think sometimes we overlook seeing like junior hires can't get much, which is not true because they are taking in more than we know. And it reaps the harvest later on in their life when we pour into them from the younger age, from both children's and also junior high and even into high school, that those seeds that we plant grow into something through the Holy Spirit. And it's just an amazing thing to see, and that's why it's been so fun now that we've been here almost 5 years that we can see those things coming to fruition now. Another thing that I think I really see the Holy Spirit working through our students is they're up here Sunday mornings leading worship to our congregation. I don't know if you've noticed that, but we have multiple students week in and week out who are up here using the gifts that God has given them to sing, to play music, even going on the technical side and leading us through worship by clicking the next button on the slides and all that. And we have our students who are engaging and serving the congregation here by using those gifts that the Lord has given them. So it's just such a cool thing to see.
Thank you, Pastor Greg. Mm-hmm. So Cheryl, you are a ministry leader and you were born at the beginning of Gen X, the end of the baby boomers. So you have taught millennials, you have taught Gen Z, and now you're engaging a new generation that's apparently called the Alpha Generation. Can you share your faith for the future?
Yes. So we were challenged by space issues when we were busting the seams. And we adapted. We made changes so that we could fit and be together. And then COVID hit. And then we had more space issues because we needed more space so we could distance. But I think our challenge now as we move into ministry in the future is adapting our methods, how we reach kids. We have kids that haven't come back from COVID. We have families who are still at home, and we miss them. But there's a reason for that. I think that we need to adapt and change, and we need to grow as leaders so that we can continue to make a difference in our world. What happens here is really important. The kids are challenging each other. They're supporting one another. They are calling each other to faith and questioning. These kids ask questions like you wouldn't believe. Once or twice a year, I give them a card that they take home and write questions on, and they bring it back. And I get a week to go over those questions, which takes me a week to figure out all my answers because they are deep, serious questions. But the result of that is important. See, when I was a kid, I had lots of questions, but I felt like they never got answered. Some of them did. So I feel like it's really important that we answer our kids' questions, because this next generation are hungrier than the ones I've taught before, and they are asking questions I've never heard kids ask before. So I want to be the church that answers their questions, because they're the ones who are going to continue to take this legacy of this church into the future by making more followers who make more followers.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Yep.
Appreciate your heart. And Pastor Greg, a similar question. Can you share your faith for the future?
Yeah, mine goes along with what Cheryl was just talking about, this questions. I think there's so many good questions that are being asked of our students, and it makes our jobs sometimes really hard, because they will ask those questions in the middle of a lesson and we're not expecting to go there. But the kids, they just have this desire to know what is true. And so I think if we can equip them with the truth that is Scripture and what is in Scripture, I think they're going to change the world. If you give these upcoming generations, the truth of the gospel, I really see them going into the world and being a huge impact in because they love to share their truth. They love to share what is true to them. And so if you empower them with the truth of the gospel, that's going to change the world. I also think this generation, you kind of hit on this in your message a little bit, of this generation sees injustice like no one else. They have a heart to see things made right. And so I think this generation, if we empower them with the love of Christ, that they will, again, change the world with their heart for making things right and seeing that all voices are heard, all people are seen. And I think that it's going to be a great thing to see as this generation grows up and gets into, again, they are the church now, but sometimes you need a little more power to make big changes, but they are making changes now in their community as well. And so I am excited to see how God uses this upcoming generations to impact our world for his good.
Thank you. I'd invite us to give a round of applause to our leaders here who have, stay here if you will. On Super Bowl Sunday, go ahead and sit down again. We're calling an audible. I said this about council. We're calling an audible again, and we're going to pray for these two. I also, you hear their heart, but I also know the struggles that they go through, the challenges they face, the difficulty of what it is to do ministry in this time, in this season. Wonderful students that they serve, and they are committed to serving them well, along with their teams. So I invite us to extend our hands as we pray over them and ask God's blessing upon them. So gracious Lord, we thank you for these leaders and the teams they represent. We thank you for their heart and passion that you have given them for the generation, the next generation. And Lord, I pray that you will continue to equip them as they pour out and equip their students for life and ministry and for this life you call us to as followers of Jesus, making followers of Jesus. So Lord, I pray your blessing and refreshing upon them in Jesus' name. Fill them with your Spirit. We pray. Amen. God bless you, and thank you so much for coming up. No, just leave them. That's fine. All right. Well, it seems like it's getting time to wrap this up. So the Apostle Paul writes, "What you have heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Jesus Christ." You know, the church has set that foundation. That is why we say we're a Bible-centered church. The Bible points to Jesus, and the Word of God is what the Holy Spirit uses to equip us. And the Bible is the truth of Jesus' teaching and the way life is meant to be. And the next generation wants to know what that is. What's beautiful? Jesus is beautiful. His church is beautiful. There's nothing more beautiful than God's love for us, and God's love extended through us to the world around us. And that is our challenge today, to share that love of God to the next generation. And students, here's your challenge today. The apostle writes, guard the good deposit that has been entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. So if you're a follower of Jesus today, guard what God has placed in your heart. Pursue Jesus with all your passion. Learn and grow and develop the gifts that God has given you. Guard it with all your heart. And if you don't yet know Jesus, then the invitation stands to trust him, to trust the one who is calling you into this new life, to be this new creation, to take all of your brokenness and transform it into beauty in God's creation. Trust Jesus. Simply invite him into your heart. Say, Jesus, I believe you died for me. Trust that you are forgiven. And ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit that you might become a new creation in him. And so as we do, I have faith for the future. I have faith for the future because of Christ in you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your call in our lives. Thank you for the students and the next generation that you are drawing near to you. And we pray together as your church that we may be used to continually equip them for your glory and their future. In Jesus' name, amen.